Well, the leaflet that you have in your hands says, "Welcome to the opening meeting of Bethel Evangelical Church." And I want us just to think very briefly about those three words, Bethel, Evangelical, and Church. The word Bethel means house of God. Bethel is a village 12 miles to the north of Jerusalem. It's first mentioned in the Bible as the place where Abraham, on his journey from Haran to what is now Palestine, stayed as a semi-nomad. And then it's mentioned again in connection with Jacob, who became Israel, from which, of course, the children of Israel were born. Now, Jacob was a bit of a scoundrel. He was not a nice man. He tricked his brother out of his birthright and deceived his father in doing so. As a result, he had to flee for his life from his brother Esau. His father wanted him to go back to Haran, where they'd come from originally, in order to find a wife there. And so Jacob had to flee from Beersheba, where they lived, to go to Haran in order to find a wife from his own kith and kin. And on his journey, he came to a lonely place and at night lay down to sleep. If you've ever lived in the outback of Australia, you will know what that means. People sleep out of doors, and they have to, or in Africa. And as he slept there, he had a dream of a ladder from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And above the ladder, the Lord God himself, who spoke to him and who told him that he would be with him, that he would bless him, that he would give him a large family, that through his family all the world would be blessed, that the land where he was lying would become his, and that God would never leave him nor forsake him. When he woke up, Jacob realized that God was in that place. He hadn't realized it. God was there. So he named it Bethel, house of God. It was a very decisive moment in his life. This unworthy man, running away, suddenly was met by God. And God began to change him. And eventually, he became Israel. And that's the great message of the Bible, that God can change people and make them new, do with them what he did with Jacob. Every family in the Old Testament virtually is dysfunctional. It's a problem family. You can't find a family in the Old Testament that wasn't a problem family. But God wonderfully intervened in the lives of people and changed them. So Bethel means that God is kind to people who are unworthy, like Jacob. He's kind to us in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to give us life and salvation. And he's kind to us in giving us his Spirit to live in our hearts today. So God is kind and good to people like us. I take it that that is why this building is called Bethel, and why the original building that was here before was called Bethel, house of God, the place where God meets unworthy people like Jacob and wonderfully begins to change them. So it's Bethel Evangelical Church. But then this word evangelical, what does that mean? It's a word that has a rich history, but nowadays I fear is being debased. However, the word evangelical comes from a Greek word, evangel, that means gospel, good news. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, good news is brought to them. The best news. Of course, you have to have the bad news before the good news. But the good news is what the Bible has to give to us. Let me quote to you from arguably one of the greatest Englishmen. If I were to ask you this evening, who you regarded as the greatest Welshman, I wonder what you'd say. Would you say Lloyd George? Well, he knew my father too. Would you say Barry John? Would you say Owen Glyndŵr? Would you say Howell Harris? Daniel Rowland? Would you say Anne Griffiths? Or she was a Welsh lady. Or if you were asked, who is the greatest Englishman? There was a survey a few years ago, wasn't there, about who is the greatest Englishman who'd ever lived. Some very unusual people were named as possibilities, but eventually it was Winston Churchill who won. Arguably, I would have thought that one of the men who might best be regarded as the greatest Englishman was William Tyndale. Some of you may never have heard of him. He died in 1536. He was killed, martyred. He couldn't translate the Bible into English in this country, so he had to go abroad to do so. And he spent 13 years there translating the Bible into our English language. It was William Tyndale's Bible that became the seedbed of our so-called authorized version and all the modern translations of our Bible. So William Tyndale was a great translator of the scriptures, the first really to translate the Bible into the English language. And therefore he was a great man. Listen to what he says about the word evangel or gospel. Gospel, he said, is a Greek word, and it means good, merry, glad, joyful tidings that makes a man's heart glad and makes him sing, dance, and leap for joy. Now, though we don't dance and leap for joy here, physically, in our hearts we do. Makes him sing, dance, and leap for joy. Good news. That's what the word evangelical means. Good news. Let me try and put that to you in two simple ways, as the Bible does. The Bible says we're all spiritually sick. Now, if you become ill, physically ill or unwell, you go to the doctor straight away. You do something about it, don't you? Well, the Bible says we have a spiritual illness and we need to go to God for help. There are all kinds of symptoms of that illness. We don't get on with other people very well. We are not the nice people, really, that we appear to be to other people. And we are spiritually adrift and don't know God. Some of you young people will know the film E.T. And you remember that in the film, this extraterrestrial points to the stars and says, home, home. Now, we're all like that. We need a home, a spiritual home. God is our home, the Bible says. But because we are not at home, and because we don't get on very well with other people and are as we are, we need the doctor, we need the specialist. And Jesus Christ is the doctor, the physician, who can heal our souls and ultimately will raise our bodies by the power of his resurrection. A friend of ours died a few years ago, a lovely man. He was actually a professor of rheumatology in Leeds University, Professor Werner Wright. And he used to see people with arthritis. And one day a man came to him, obviously crippled with arthritis, hobbling with stick. And he saw Dr. Wright, and Dr. Wright told him to make another appointment and to come to see him in 3 months' time. And he said to Dr. Wright, would you mind if I took one of those little pamphlets on the table in the waiting room home so that I can read it? And Werner Wright said, of course, you take it. So he took the pamphlet home. It was a little pamphlet that Werner Wright himself had written, Werner Wright being a Christian. 3 months later, the man came back, and he hobbled into the consulting room, and he sat down, and Professor Wright said, well, how are you? Well, he said, I've been healed. But you're still arthritic, you're still crippled, you're still hobbling, you still have a stick. Yes, he said, I've still got arthritis, but I've been healed. I've been healed. He'd become a Christian. Christ had come to him, and his soul was now at peace with God. I've been healed. That's the message. That's what the word evangelical means. It means that Christ came into the world to heal the soul, to make us well, and to ultimately raise our bodies from death. Put it in another way, if you like. Have you ever been present at the reading of a will? Suppose for a minute you were bankrupt and had no money at all. You couldn't pay your past debts, you were in real trouble today and you were worried about the future. And somebody said to you, I want you to be present at the reading of last will and testament. And you went into the solicitor's office and you heard the solicitor read out the will of this person, and this person had left you, shall we say, £1 million. Clearing your debt, providing for you now, and in effect dealing with all your future debts at a stroke. What a marvelous thing that would be. Now, we call the New Testament the New Testament. It's Jesus' last will and testament. And Jesus is saying to us, I've got something to give you. You don't have it, you're bankrupt, you have no merit of your own, no goodness of your own that pleases God, but I've got it and I'll give it to you. And I want you to have it. So you become an inheritor of the riches of Jesus Christ. This is how William Tyndale puts it. Excuse me for quoting him, but I can't think of a better way of putting it. He said, Jesus Christ commanded that such gospel or tiding should be declared throughout the whole world. And then, he, Jesus Christ, gives to all who believe all his goods. This is his last will and testament. He gives his life to us with which he swallowed and devoured death. He gives his righteousness to us with which he banished sin. He gives his salvation to us with which he overcame eternal damnation. Now, says Tyndale, can the wretched man that is in sin and in danger to death and hell hear a more joyous thing than such glad and comforting tidings of Christ, so that he cannot but be glad and laugh from the low bottom of his heart? You see, William Tyndale gave us a lot of our English language. And when you say, from the bottom of my heart, you're quoting William Tyndale. And what William Tyndale was saying there was that when we receive these blessings of forgiveness and peace and righteousness and salvation from Jesus Christ, from the low bottom of our heart, we rejoice. That's what evangelical means. Good news for those who are spiritually sick and those who have no virtue, no merit, no goodness of their own. But Jesus Christ gives it freely to us. And then the third word here, church, Bethel Evangelical Church. Well, perhaps we are more familiar with the word church. Actually, when you become a Christian, you become part of a community. It's not just you as an individual that becomes a Christian, but you become part of a community, the church. And although each person's salvation is individual, it's also corporate. So here in Bethel Evangelical Church, we are brothers and sisters together. We belong together. The Bible says we are living stones in a building. We are members of a body, the body of Christ. Now, the English word church comes from an old English word, circe, which came from a Greek word that means the Lord's house or belonging to God. And in the New Testament, that's really the emphasis. The church is a people who belong to God. And the one word that is used most frequently in the Bible to describe the church is the word from which we get the idea of being called out. And there's another word that means to be gathered together. So the church is God's people called out, belonging together, the assembly, the meeting of God's people. So these premises are not the church. These premises are the premises in which the church meets. The church are the people who God has called, who gathers together, around his word to hear his voice. And you see, that's why the pulpit is central here. This pulpit was designed and made by Paul. It's a beautiful pulpit. Lovely wood and beautifully constructed. Over there, underneath you, don't worry, you're quite safe, there's a baptistry. We can take those chairs away, we can take the covering away, and there's a baptistry. People who become Christians and want to confess their faith in Christ through baptism may be baptized in that baptistry. And that we meet as well very often around the Lord's tables. We put the table here and we meet around it for communion. The pulpit, baptistry, the communion table, and then the instruments that lead us in our singing. And we meet here and we love to do that in order to praise God, because he is good and his mercy endures forever. So the church are people who have responded to the God who loves us, who has given us his Son and his Spirit, and whose Son died that our sins should be taken away forever, he bearing them in his body on the cross. He died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, that we might have a home in heaven, saved by his precious blood. So we have a home. We belong to God. We all know, if we are Welsh, what hiraeth means. If you've ever been abroad and you want to get home, you know what I mean. Hiraeth. Longing for home. Well, in every heart there's this longing for God. And Jesus Christ came to bring us home to God, to show us that he loves us, that he wants us to be his children, and that if we respond to him by coming to him in faith and repentance, he will receive us gladly and willingly and make us his own. So it's Bethel, house of God, evangelical, good news for those who are spiritually sick and bankrupt. And the church is a worshipping, witnessing, serving, caring, confessing, Bible-based community of needy people who have a complete and all-sufficient Savior in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And we are glad we are here, and we are glad that you are here with us this evening. And we pray that God will bless you, and God will give you the kind of enthusiasm and joy that William Tyndale was speaking about. And from the low bottom of your heart, you may be able to thank God for loving you and for loving the world so much that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.